Welcome to your diary episode. Here's the thing, I'm a bit of a nomad, so these episodes come to you from wherever I'm living or travelling to at the time. So I'll share with you what's going on in my world, from book tours, animal encounters, delish meals, nature adventures, health discoveries, to swimming in hidden Byron Bay beaches. Come with me as I share my adventures with you. Righto, welcome to the first diary episode of the podcast for 2022. I have a special VIP guest with me today. I know diaries are usually not interview-based. They are usually a diary, and this will absolutely be a diary episode, but I just so happen to have a VIP in the vicinity. So welcome to the podcast, Dad.
Thank you. I'm not sure I'm a VIP, Loz, but welcome to all your listeners. Happy 2022 in very strange and difficult times.
Totally. And I do just want to quickly call this one out. For everyone listening, I know I probably sound a little bit nasal. I have just been getting over a bit of a cold, not the spicy cough, not corona. I've done 5 tests and they're all negative. Also, you're really well and Matt's really well. So,
and I think you sound a bit better today.
Yeah, you were saying, I'm turning a corner.
Turning the corner.
But I just wanted to call it out now if you were like, oh, she sounds a little nasal. Sure. Okay, so the theory of today's ep is we'll just talk a bit about, it's a diary episode. So I've explained to Dad this is a diary episode. So we talk about what's kind of gone on. So the last episode that came out was on Christmas Eve, as far as diaries go. And you've been here for that whole time because you came up to spend Christmas up here.
I did. I came on a road trip. I haven't had a decent holiday for 38 years and I've just retired. And
you've had a few good holidays. Yeah, come on.
But only 2 weeks duration. This is the first time I've had a four-week holiday in about 38 years. So I'm really enjoying it. It's very different. And I've got my dog Chet here with me. So we're both doing this road trip to your place for Christmas.
Yeah.
And my brother who lives in northern New South Wales for New Year. And it's been great.
So we're technically in northern New South Wales as well. Where's he though?
He's at a place called Pumbleton.
Okay.
Which is closer to the border, but it's sort of in the hinterland.
Got it.
It's a beautiful scenic place, but fairly difficult to find.
Oh, and, you learned that the hard way, did you?
I did. And while I was seeing him, I did a farm stay. So that's something we can talk a little bit about too.
Well, what we did was basically when you came to Bangalore, my neighbours needed a dog sitter. And so you came and looked after Monty and Roo, two pooches with Chet. So you were able to bring the dog, stay literally two doors down from us.
It was really convenient because Matt's such a good cook.
Yeah.
And I got invited to dinner every night.
I was making notes for this episode when you were actually at brekkie with Matt this morning, and I thought, every night that you come to our place, it's like you enter this little health retreat. It's always quite healthy.
You eat really well. You are a nutritionist, so I would expect you to, but but you do. You both eat very, very well. And it's a joy to come.
It's good that you come here and we're like load you up with nutrients. Last time I was giving you night cream for your face. You come to this little health retreat for a night and then.
No, I've really been blessed to be able to do that. I think it's been really good for me and it's enabled me to catch up with you both, which now I'm retired, I'd like to be able to do that more, but you're heading off in March, of course.
Yeah. Well, I go to America very, very soon. So I thought for people listening that if they've got a dog and want to do a road trip, so you've, just for people who don't know, you live in Victoria, you live part in Melbourne and then part in Torquay. And you wanted to get a like road trip over a few days to get here.
Yes, the difficulty was travelling with the dog and getting accommodation. I had to plan it well before I left, and it was difficult to get accommodation with the dogs and with the dog. And I often had to stay in sort of caravan parks and with cabins.
But can we say, so your trip home I booked for you all on Airbnb, that was pretty easy.
It was, but I think there's been a lot of cancellations too.
Because of COVID
And it's a bit easier now to get Airbnbs rather than when I was planning. prior to coming when everyone had booked, and now they've forfeited or cancelled.
Now you've got heaps of...
And now there's a lot of options. But I came up around the coast, so it was a slow trip and I took about 5 or 6 days to get here. It was really good.
And where'd you stay? So Lakes Entrance?
I went to Lakes Entrance, then I went to Batemans Bay, then I went to Swansea near Newcastle, then I went to Coffs Harbour, and then I went to Bangalore. So I drove for about 3 or 4 hours a day, which is plenty for the dog, and stopping and giving him a run.
Yeah,
and
a swim.
And a swim at most of these places I stayed. I had to look for dog beaches because a lot of the beaches do not allow dogs on them, but I was able to find them and we had a good time.
And then you've done a week in Bangers, and then we booked you this farm stay in Wadeville or Lillian Rock.
Yeah, Wadeville, Lillian Rock, and it was a beautiful property, 130 acres with cattle and poultry, and the owners, the host owners, had 3 dogs, 2 border collies, similar to my dog, and they had a Kelpie, and the 4 dogs ran around occasionally, but it was just a nice sort of place to reset in the new year, and a beautiful place sort of for solitude. And you could go for walks on the property and walk around the creek beds and the pastures and the...
Well, we did it. You took us for a walk. And there's heaps of calves at the moment. It must be the season for calves.
Calvings, yes. There are 8 calves on the property at the moment, and but a lot of sort of wallabies. And you saw wallabies. And I'd wake up in the morning looking out onto a pasture, and yesterday morning I woke up and there were 3 wallabies just out the front of my window.
Oh, wow. Versus waking up here in Bangalore, where last week I was hanging the washing on the line and there was a snake in front of me.
I saw that on Instagram. Matt must have posted that, did he? Yeah. And he was warning you and you just panicked and ran right over the top of it, I think.
Yeah, I did. I mean, if someone says to you, don't move, there's a snake, what are you going to do? You're going to run.
Your instinct is to sort of run, but it's
fight or flight.
But it's probably the last thing you need to do.
This snake was not phased. It was just like going about its business. But I was like, I'm out of here.
Well, you never know. The first day I was in Bangalore, I took the 3 dogs for a walk.
Yeah.
And I saw a snake slithering up the gutter of one of the streets here. So
do you think it was a whip snake or a brown snake?
I'm still not sure, because the size suggests brown, but it may have
been. Was it really skinny?
Yeah, it was quite skinny, but it was quite long.
Whip snakes can get a little, who knows?
Who knows? But anyway, one of the dogs was very interested and the other, they're all on lead, so I had control.
The one that was really interested, Roo, because he obviously lives 2 doors down from us, has had a whip snake before in his mouth playing with it.
He has.
So for people listening that don't know snakes very well, which I didn't until I moved here, whip snakes are poisonous when they bite you, but will never kill you, but they'll cause a very painful wound.
Painful wound, probably a cellulitis and
what
abscess.
Cellulitis?
Cellulitis is just an infection of the cells in a particular area. So like can develop an abscess there, which is an infection building up in that area. So it's localized. It's not doesn't go through the body. It's not systemic.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, there you go. A bit of a snake. I was like, I want to mention the snake. So I just want to go back for a sec and talk about Christmas, Crimbo.
Yeah.
So we all did negative COVID tests before Christmas.
We did. And something we just have to do these days if you can get a test.
Totally.
You know, they're so scarce. But, you know, given the numbers, I remember doing the podcast once before saying that, you know, the vaccination was going to be the weapon but not the saviour, and it's turning out that way. Vaccinations are the weapon but not necessarily the saviour, because you can still get it.
But you're getting it less severe and all that kind of jazz. But
you're right, we did the rapid antigen tests.
And I've done quite a lot because I've been a little bit, felt a bit funky, but it is nice when you get that negative test result, especially before something like Christmas Day where you're, you know, hanging out with a lot of people and you want to keep everybody safe. But so Christmas Day, we had our, we decided to make it more COVID friendly. The people we were running it with, the Woods Boys, they said, let's do it actually at Woods so that we can eat outdoors, basically, which was a great idea, wasn't it?
It was a great idea. It was a beautiful lunch. It was outdoors. The weather did change late, but it was good for the
all of lunch.
All of lunch. And the food was exemplary. I mean, it was beautiful.
Did you have a favourite? I love the beef. I thought the beef was.
I love the beef and I love the smoke. Barramundi.
Oh, yeah. Sam loves smoking fish. So Sam's the – we've had him on the podcast as well. He's the head chef of Woods and one of the owners with Andy. And so we were initially going to do a Christmas just us and them, and then there were a few like orphans and he was like, what are we going to do? So we did them all. That's why it ended up being this outdoor event. But the food was amazing. I did my Christmas salad for that.
Yeah, beautiful salad. You've done it before.
Yeah, when you and I have put Christmases on before.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a bit of a favourite. But, it was beautiful.
It's like – it's so I changed it just from rocket to spinach because I know Andy doesn't like rocket. And then it's mango, avocado, cherry toms. There's no cherry toms in it actually, and then red onion, and then you do this honey mustard dressing.
The honey mustard dressing makes it, I think.
Yeah, and it goes quite nice with meats and proteins. So that was delicious. Then he did a gluten-free trifle for dessert and with Davidson plum jammy kind of stuff in it. And then he did
– there was a Christmas pudding.
Pudding, and we did Mum's brandy jam. And then do you remember Boxing Day we cooked the pudding that we bought – or you bought in Melbourne.
Yes.
And we did the brandy cream. Matt and I did it here.
That's right.
How good is it?
Oh, it was great.
Well, can you hear that rain pummeling down?
It's pummeling down. My dog's going to get agitated because he reacts to
he's
rain.
He's all right. He's done his – I've already watched him. He's done his cruise, but he's sitting down now.
Oh, good, good. That's good.
So, yeah, I thought it was a delicious Christmas and Boxing Day.
It was fairly unique because of the environment and the food was beautiful. They are, you know, they are good chefs.
Amazing
chefs. So we were very lucky to have that experience, I think.
Totally. And a bit different.
Very different to traditional sit down and have your roast turkey and it was beautiful.
Oh, he did duck, didn't he?
He did duck.
Yeah.
He did duck instead of turkey and that was nice too. So there was nothing to complain about that one.
Speaking of food, you've been to a few places since you've been here and you've gone to a few cafes. Do you have a favourite meal or moment or a food experience? If people were visiting this area, where would you tell them to go?
Well, there's two that stand out for me. Obviously, the local one in Bangalore is the Woods Boys, Woods. Yeah. And I've just been there this morning with Matt for breakfast.
Yeah.
We've just come back.
What did you get?
I got their banana bread with a beautiful butter and they have blueberries and strawberries on top. And
it's like a vegan whipped maple butter.
Yeah, oh, it's tasty. And I had a berry smoothie, which was nice too.
Yum, and their coffee's great. They use moonshine, which is a local federal roasters. They're my favourite coffee.
Yeah, no, I had a note latte as well.
Nice. So you would say go to Woods if people are in the
Woods,
area?
Woods locally, Bangalore. Yeah. But the other one that I do like here is the farm.
Oh, yeah.
And not only for the food, and we've been there for a meal of a night and we've been there at lunchtime as well, but just – the other attractions, the piggery, the poultry.
And there's little piglets and
there's
hens.
There's cattle. And, it's great for kids to experience.
And it's free. It's totally free to visit.
Yeah. And they can get an animal experience while they're there and the adults can have some nice food. It's called The Farm.
What did you get when we went this time? Did you get a
sausage roll?
Oh, you and Matt got sausage rolls.
It was lunch and we got a sausage roll. And it was unique. It was different, but it was a nice sausage roll. Matt's the connoisseur of sausage rolls. Yeah. So I just went with him.
Yeah.
I said, what would you recommend? He said, oh, sausage roll.
Yeah. So,
and I wasn't disappointed. It was nice.
Yeah, no, it's a good – you're right. It's a really good environment, especially if you've got a little family and want to –
And I think another healthy place to go is the other one, Vagabond.
Yeah.
Which is in the industrial estate of
Byron. We went there New Year's Eve.
Went there New Year's Eve and, you know, the food's really healthy.
What did you get there? Oh, you. I know what you got.
I went a little bit decadent there. I had the buckwheat pancakes.
They were like a waffle, I think.
A waffle. But a buckwheat waffle.
But gluten-free and vegan as well.
Yeah, with again, an assortment of berries. And
I think what Mac always gets this like Reuben New York sandwich thing.
Yeah, it was big.
I got this like turmeric brown rice, like
yes.
It was really nice with popcorn tofu thing.
Yeah.
But it was, and then we did go decadent, do you remember? We got the raw vegan caramel slice.
Caramel slice, yes, that was excessive, Loz.
You have to go out with a bang.
I had a big piece.
Yeah, I got to add a bigger one.
Yeah. But, you know, it was a good way, New Year's Eve, it was a good way to sort of just preempt New Year's Eve, I think.
Yeah, perfect. And then you went to your farm stay and we just went to the beach to set our intentions, and then it started pelting down. So we ended up having a picnic literally in the backyard, Matt and I. And then for New Year's Day, we came back and hung out with you and walked the property.
At the farm, yes, that's right. Yeah, I had a pretty early night New Year's Eve this
year.
Same. But I was in a place of resetting, a place of solitude, and I really enjoyed my own company that night, just relaxing and reading a little bit. And I didn't actually see the new year in.
No, same. No, same with us.
But so, it hasn't been a year to really celebrate, I don't think.
I think there's
for all sorts of reasons.
There's like you sold your business, like that's
that's
a
been huge. Yeah.
So the business that you, I think you started it when I was born, the year I was born, 1985.
Yeah, I had my own business in Melbourne, a veterinary business for 36 years, and I've worked in the industry for 46 years, and I had the business for 38 years, sorry.
I'm not 38 though, and you opened it the year I was born. So just please age me.
No, 1983 I started. It must have been just before you were born.
2 years before I was born.
Yeah, I think it was.
Because I have these like Felix the Cat launch t-shirts. Mum made these 1985 Felix the Cat launch.
Oh, well, maybe I've got my dates wrong.
Maybe you're telling everyone you have it. I'm not going to be aged, I'll tell you that much for free. I know I'm 36.
You're definitely 36. And I remember the T-shirts, the little Felix T-shirt.
But didn't you work for the owner of that? Maybe. Yeah, so you probably worked.
I probably did buy it, but I didn't take it over in Melbourne. See, that was you. That was celebration of the new clinic.
But you owned it before.
But I owned it for 2 years before that. So,
there you go.
So that was the new building when you were born, or soon after you. That was the opening. We had a gathering of clients and that sort of thing.
With Felix the Cat T-shirts.
And you and my nurses had Felix the Cat T-shirts, I remember them. Your mother organised all that.
It's very mum, isn't it?
It is.
So I want to talk about dogs quickly, because I think it's really good for people that are in this area or travelling to know the good dog beaches. So you've been to, we went to, is it Cabarita? Cabarita Beach. They've got a dog beach.
They have, but we didn't go to that dog beach there because
we just walked to the main beach.
We walked to the main beach, but we've been to quite a few beaches here now. And
Suffolk Dog Beach.
And coming back yesterday, I went to Ocean Shores.
Yeah.
And I also went. There's a Brunswick Heads dog beach too. Yep. Beautiful beaches, but they're away from the main swimming area.
Yeah.
And the dogs have a great time. The beaches up here are beautiful. I mean, that's one of the things about Byron Bay. You know, the beaches, the hinterland.
Totally.
The waterfalls.
It's so stunning, and
it sort of it exemplifies your biophilia,
nature,
the health benefits of nature. This up here is just so perfect for that sort of thing.
Totally, but I just thought for people listening, if they want to know the best dog beaches, what if you had to put it down to one or two, what would your favourite dog beaches that you've been to so far be?
Well, I think Ocean Shore is a beautiful stretch of beach.
It's long.
It's long, and you can go for a long way. Is it Stanley Park?
What Stanley Park?
Oh, sorry. What's the place near Byron that's close where we took the three dogs?
Suffolk Park. That's a shorter stint though.
Yeah, it's shorter. Yeah, I think there are probably better dog beaches, but that one's the close one to town. The other one was the Bludgeon or Balut?
Balonjul.
Balonjul Beach. That was a nice beach.
That was really nice. That was much longer than Suffolk.
Much longer, and it was a nice day that day. The weather's been...
You swam.
Really, I swam. The weather's been really spasmodic.
Yeah, well,
it's a tropical, summer, tropical time of the year. There's been a lot of rain, but when the sun comes through, it's warm and it's nice. But, they'd be the four main dog beaches, Ocean Shore, Brunswick Heads.
Is that a separate beach, Ocean Shore? Or
yeah, separate. Oh, separate. I didn't know that. It's beyond the surf.
For dogs as well?
For dogs, yeah.
I did not know that.
No, I had to explore and find it.
Yeah.
But I found it was good. And I think that one where I swam,
Balonjul
Beach, I think that's a beautiful dog
That's
beach.
Probably a winner, I'd say.
Yeah, that's definitely a winner. I think that's better than the...
Suffolk
Park.
The only issue with Suffolk, it's beautiful, but it's a small stretch. So small you have stretch. To quickly figure out when you legally have to put them on lead or...
Yeah, that's right.
But
the dogs love it. I mean, they run in the water and they run along the sand. And I always have one of these launcher balls that my dog just is addicted to. So that's
where it's like almost like it's connected to like a little stick launcher thing.
Yeah,
and you throw it.
Throw it. And most people out there have probably seen them in the park, but they're brilliant for exercise of dogs. You probably don't do as much yourself, but the dog does plenty.
You can just get it so much further. Okay, so I want to talk to you about New Year's resolutions. Do you have one this year? A lot of people don't.
Loz, I have a perpetual one. I have one that I because I just have to check in every year.
Yeah.
And the one that I always check myself for is that I'm not judgmental.
Really?
It's so like society is a little bit fractured. Because of the pandemic, I think.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to become judgmental in these times particularly.
Of what, the government or?
Of all sorts of things. Other people, the government.
Yeah.
The way things are being handled. And I think there are so many people out there that have got their own ideals and thoughts and beliefs and they don't necessarily agree with me and that's fine. And I've got my thoughts and beliefs and ideals, but I just have to check myself every year and just check that I'm not being judgmental of other people because they're entitled to their opinions. The other New Year resolution that I've made, I've just retired. I've got a townhouse at Torquay, which is the surf coast of Victoria. It's a beautiful part of Victoria. The weather's not as good as up here. Mm-hmm. But I'm 70, having just retired, and I would like to attempt to learn the stand-up paddleboard.
Oh, that's a good – I've done that.
I've done it at Hamilton Island, that sort of thing, but I've never done it in choppy water.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to take that up in the next 12 months, stand-up paddleboard while I'm down at Torquay.
Oh, I like that. I feel like that's a really achievable goal.
Yeah, and I think it's healthy and it's good for your core and, it's just something different. And I think, the fact that I have worked for 45 years straight, I'd just like to, over the next 12 months, a bit of R&R.
Chill,
and
visit Tristan, hopefully.
I'd like to get to Tristan in Perth if they open up. He's in Western Australia. I'd like to – haven't seen him for 2 years because of COVID.
Yeah. Probably longer.
Probably longer, yeah. Yeah, November it was, 2019, so it's longer.
Yeah.
So I'd like to catch up with him, hopefully maybe Easter.
Yeah.
And I'll do a similar sort of thing. It won't be a road trip, but I'll go for 3 or 4 weeks, which I've
never... Make the most of it, yeah.
Which I've never done in my life before. So I've had 2 weeks here and there, but never really had this... See, I don't feel pressured to get home. I'm taking about 7 days to drive back to Melbourne from here and you could probably do it in 2 if you wanted to, but I'm taking 7 days.
Well, this is the thing. So Mum's episode, when this episode comes out, Mum's episode will come out on Monday and yours, this one, will come out on that Friday. So we're calling it Family Week.
Oh, right.
But Mum said in her episode that the listeners will have probably already heard on Monday, she said that she believes she's just entered the best part of her life, the final third of her life. She said, I believe it's the best. She said, when I was in my early 20s, I had no responsibilities. I could travel for as long as I wanted. And she said, but then she's like, stress is into your life, mortgages, kids, family, all that kind of stuff. These are these little stresses. And she goes, I feel like I'm back at my early 20s because I don't have to answer to anybody. No. I do what I want. I live to my march, my own, the beat of my own drum. And I feel like that's kind of what you're describing as well, would you say?
I think so. I think so. Yeah, your mother struggled, I think, with being maternal and rearing kids and not being able to work and not having adult stimulation. And I think she sort of struggled with that. And she, as she said, she had a freedom before that and she's got a freedom now.
No, but it's like a like people are writing about this kind of like freedom that comes when you retire as an adult where you can – because in your early 20s, like you don't really know who you are. You're figuring yourself out and, yeah, and then there's a big hunk of your life that you dedicate to your kids and your career.
Of course.
And I think she has said, she's like, oh, I'm back to like just like looking after my farm and looking after my animal. And I feel like what you're saying, like you want to travel more, you want to learn stand-up paddleboarding, live down in Torx. Like you don't have anyone to answer to at the vet clinic anymore.
No, it's a real weight off the shoulder. You know, not having the responsibility of staff, not having to make decisions, not having to administer, not having to pay salaries.
Yeah. You know, really.
Yeah, I feel it's a relief, really.
Yeah.
It's a weight off your shoulders. And I'm sure your mother's feeling that now that she's not working. She loves her little farmlet.
Yeah, which you'll probably visit on your way through.
Well, yeah, you've given me a few things to drop off there. So I will visit and say hello.
Yeah. It's just interesting. Like,
yeah, I agree with her.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting, like, generationally, like, Matt and I are both 36 and so we're at this phase where we're, you know, we're like we'd like to buy a house and we'd like to kind of, you know, really focus on our careers and give that a red hot crack and I can feel how it's so different to like where you and Mum are in your life. Like you've got all that set up. You don't need to like slog over mortgages as much as what where we are in our lives. No.
But as a parent, it's good to see your children strive to succeed and have a passion and have a direction and make the most of their opportunity. As a parent, it's good. We all it's phase. Yeah, life is full of phases.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I just that's why I'm really excited about these two episodes because I think it's nice to celebrate like entering a new phase, which is what this whole year will be for you. It'll be like you will get to decide what you want to do and where you want to be. And like even after this chat, you head down to Grafton or Yamba.
Yes, that's right. I'm slowly snaking my way back home, you know.
But with a few extra stops, you're doing a few days in Bendigo.
I am. I'm going a long way and I'm not in a hurry.
Yeah, but how nice. I think it's
beautiful.
And it's nice to celebrate that too, and that's why I was excited to chat to you about that.
Sure.
I wanted to share with you and the listener, hello, listener, it's hard, it's interesting in a diary episode but when you're also interviewing someone as well, but I want to share some of my 2022 goals.
Yes.
So for my goal is I don't know that I'll make this one but I am going to start, put it out there. I want to try and read 3 books a month when I can.
That's a huge challenge.
So we're recording this on the 6th of January and I'm starting my second book of January. Yeah, so I've read one.
Yeah. Oh, that's second. Good. That's good. It's great that you're doing it, but it's time consuming too.
Yeah, but you build your smarts, you build your lexicon, you learn more words. Mm. But, yeah, so I think 2 a month is probably going to be more realistic and I'm going to sub one out if I'm doing a play or working on a script or something. If I'm doing script analysis that month, that means I can take one book off the list.
Sure.
Does that make
sense? Well, you're doing so many other things. So, you know, 2 a month is probably a reasonable
expectation. But while Jan is quiet, you know, like we're living pretty isolated, like all of us are trying not to get COVID. So we're kind of, you know, living pretty, a pretty like isolated.
Oh, you are. You are, yeah. So you'll have a little bit more time to do it.
Yeah, that's what I meant. So the other thing is I'm a sugar monster, as you know. Dad and I have the same sweet tooth. I've taught you about the banana bread at Woods. So I'm really trying hard to just, if I want something sweet, to go for like berries and healthy things and wholesome versions. And the next book that I'm about to start reading is called Lifespan by David Sinclair, which I'll definitely do a book review on in the diary episodes. Mm. But I really want to get into intermittent fasting and doing all the things that kind of make me feel good, and then decrease. So my two goals are decreasing inflammation and decreasing blood glucose levels.
Sure.
So that's where the sugar, the decreasing sugars comes from, and then I want to decrease booze. I'm not a massive drinker, but I'm a social drinker.
Sure.
So
I think you've got the self-discipline to do those things.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I don't drink much. You and I are quite similar. But if I'm social, I'll have a drink out with friends. So the last time I had a drink was obviously New Year's Eve. We had a Matt and I had a glass of wine in the backyard, and then I just said I'm not going to have another drink until Valentine's Day if we go out for Valentine's Day. So that's the middle of Feb.
That's very reasonable.
Yeah, so very I think I'm just going to become a bit more mindful with my drinking.
And your sugar intake.
Yeah, yeah, totally. My other goals are, as you mentioned earlier, I go to Los Angeles again in a few months, in a couple of months. So I really want to get an acting manager in USA and start auditioning, and I'd love to get my first acting, like professional acting gig in America and in Australia, because I'll be back and forth a lot.
Yeah, having been there, have you got contacts?
Sort of, yeah, but more school contacts.
I see.
But yeah, so getting a manager is one of the hardest things. So I've got to build. It's a big.
Yeah, beast. Yeah. It's a different world, isn't it, over there?
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of my goals for 2022.
Good. Good. Well, you know, you're the person that sets goals and achieves them. So
do you reckon?
I think you've got a passion and you've got a direction and you've got goals and you really work towards them.
Oh, thanks, Dad. Thank you, Dad. you taught me a new word this trip. Do you remember it? Don't look at my notes.
My memory's failing.
Okay, I'm going to try and say it. Thymotropism, thymotropism, yeah. Thymotropism.
And what was it again?
Oh, I thought you would tell me. Oh, no.
Thymotropism.
And then you taught me about a fly that eats chocolate or makes chocolate or something.
Yeah, I think it's a Tesla fly or a...
But that's not linked to this word.
No, I don't.
Oh, there goes my theory.
Gee, you should have warded me up on that one.
I didn't warn him about any of this, other than I said it's a diary, so I'll give you more rapid fire.
What's it? It'll come to me later. unfortunately,
the final thing I want to talk about quickly on the pod is this is coming out on Friday, the 14th of January. Now, Thursday, the 13th of January is.
Yeah, that's Tristan, your brother's birthday.
Do you know how old he's turning?
He was born in 89, so I can work back.
I think he'd be 33. 33 or 34.
So 89, that's 11. So 32.
I think he'd be are you sure? I think he's already 32.
He was born in 89, so 2022, 33.
He's turning 33, yeah. Okay, So Tristan, I don't even know if he listens to our pods or not. He's definitely his own little, but he's just got in. He's a fiery now.
He's not there yet. He's still in the military, but he's been
accepted.
He's been accepted to be a fiery at the end of February, I think, in Western Australia.
How good! So what's your favourite quality in celebration of Tristan, my little bro, who is a clearance diver right now in the Navy, the Australian Navy? What's your favourite quality about Tristan?
Well, Tristan from a young age has sort of decided to go in his own direction, away from family, really. He went in his own direction and plotted his own path. And, you know, he was never a scholar, so that was frustrating. We could never get him to achieve to what potentially was his ability.
But that's only from an intellectual...
With his English and his maths, he's always loved the camaraderie and he's always loved the sporting interaction at schools and that sort of thing. He's always been – I would call Tristan an adventurer. That's what I'd call him. He likes to do things that often other people don't do, like skydiving and bungee jumping and diving.
But you've done both those things, have you not?
Not bungee jumping and diving with sharks and at a young age. And, you know, he just does things that are a bit of an adventurer, a bit of an adrenaline junkie, I suppose. And
I think we've all got a bit of that though, because you've skydived a couple of times. I've skydived. Tristan skydived like 5 times. I think he was going to do his – he wanted to do his training, I know, at one stage to be able to solo jump.
Yeah, he did. But now, you know, the clearance diving was a massive undertaking by him because it was so intense.
I think you literally learned to like disarm bombs under –
all that, and the military, you know, although there's great discipline, they try and break you mentally, in the training to see whether you're going to stand up under pressure.
Excuse me.
And he managed to get through that course, and he became one of the few that transferred from the Army to the Navy. Not many did that, so.
This is amazing, but if you could just, so you reckon he's an adventurer, sorry to cut you off, but you reckon he's an adventurer. What do you think he's like? So I think Tristan's got some beautiful, like, qualities. Like, he's a very present person. Like, he's very in the moment. He's extremely logical. He's very, I think he's driven as well, very, very driven in a very different way to me. I would say I'm creatively drawn to be driven.
Yeah, he's a practical.
Very pragmatic.
And quite opinionated in the way he goes about things.
Yeah, he's not shy in telling you what he believes about you.
No. But in his own way, he's quite confident in what he's doing now. And he never was. He's developed that. I think the military has made him a better human being because.
But that's all. This is the thing. I think you got to remember. That's part of growing up. Like, it's part you're of meant up. To be a rat bag in your 20s. I know I was. You know, like, I was a party animal DJ. Like, I think. I think it just so happened that he was in the military in that age group where you're growing and learning and developing. You know, I think.
And they stomp on you. You know, if you get out of hand, they stomp on you and you've got to accept that criticism, and a lot can't.
It's a different, a very specific trait. But, yeah, he's got – so I would say if I could sum Tristan up in 3 words, I'd say, like, drive.
Yeah.
Like, super pragmatic and very present. I think he's quite a present. Like, when you talk to him, he's, like, there. But then you don't hear from him for, like, a month.
But he's done a lot of – in all his interviews for the Fireys and the military and
– and Army, The Bachelor. Do you know he did an audition for The Bachelor?
Oh, he talked about it. I didn't know he did it. Did he do it?
He got down to the final, yeah.
He did it. He's never told me he did it. He just said he wouldn't mind doing it.
No, he got down to final.
So he went through that process.
Yeah, which is an interview process, and I think – I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I'll talk to him before we release this episode. I think it was the Navy that said, no, thank you.
You're right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
No, totally, because what if you set a bad example? Yeah. And I've heard the BTS of that show. I could be totally wrong, but I've just heard on the grapevine, they booze you up a lot before you shoot. And so you've lost a bit of your inhibition because you've had a couple of drinks.
Oh, yes. They're all – I don't see it, but I've seen the odd episode and they're all always having cocktail parties.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you lose your inhibitions after a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
Well, Tristan, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday from the 13th from me.
And me.
And I'll probably give you a ring, Tristo. I think he's on a camper van trip at the moment.
Yeah, he is around Western Australia.
Yeah, so he's got time off, but I will be in touch. And
for people listening, because the demographic of this pod is probably around my age and younger, what advice would you have just to, you know, it's the start of the year. Do you have like one bit of advice? Is it like just do what you love? Is it like?
Well, I think you've got to enjoy your youth. You know, we haven't spoken about your book.
Oh, I forgot to do the book review. That's all right.
I was going to quickly do a.
In the diary we do a book review. So in the diary we do a book review.
Right, because that covers a lot of things that I would say are pertinent to young people.
Yeah. Well, it's designed for young people. But, okay, so. We'll do a book review in one sec, but what if you give like a theme or a sentence or something for people to focus on for 2022?
Yeah, I mean, it's been so difficult for young people in COVID to mix and simulate with each other. And, you know, I think unfortunately that's not going to change immediately. But I think you just got to have a positivity and follow your goals and dreams anyway. And at some point in time, we will get through this and build up this herd immunity, whereby you're going to be able to pursue your aims and dreams.
So you would say keep a positive mindset. That'd kind of be
definitely keep a positive mindset going forward. I mean, you've got to achieve what you want to achieve.
So mine would be for people listening to this, and I got it because somebody found a quote from Fearlessly Failing the book and posted it this morning, and I was like, oh, I forgot that I used to have this written on my yoga mat every single day. And the quote is, and it's a really nice one for a mantra for the new year, it's you've got to show up and suck before you can show up and shine. And I think if people know that, like, whether it be you're at the start of the year, you're starting a new goal, a new dream, a new health goal, whatever it is, like, it's going to feel funky and gross at first, and you've got to sit in the uncomfortableness of sucking before you can shine. So you've got to show up and suck before you can show up and shine.
Yeah, you've got to do the hard yards. You've got to work at what you want to achieve. It's not just going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what you're saying as well.
Yeah, that's my mantra to share with you. So Dad's is stay positive, and mine is show up and suck before you show up and shine. Okay, before you can show up and shine. Book review. So as you know, if you're a diary listener, I do a book review every week. I've read a book already, but I'm going to save that for next week's diary. So Dad, you are going to do a book review.
Well, I've just finished your book.
Fearlessly Failing.
And interestingly, one of the pertinent points there is not to be judgmental. So that relates to me. That comes out in that book. But the things.
I don't remember writing that. That's cool that you pick up on, like, it's interesting what people pick up on when they read something.
And I thought, oh, well, that's relevant to me, you know. But the two main points with this book that I couldn't get over, how self-deprecating or that you were about yourself. It's like a memoir. It's like an autobiography almost of your life until now. And, you know, you spoke about your weaknesses, your disappointments, your failures, your hardships that you've been through, and how you've used them as motivation to move positively forward and achieve to the best of your ability in the areas that you've been heading, and that was one thing that came out to me. You have to, and I've always said failure is just a tributary or an aside on the pathway to success, I really believe that.
But to come back to the self-deprecating stuff, I do that because one, it's my nature.
Yeah.
It's how I would talk, like, but the other thing is it's funny, like, it's comedic to pay yourself. It's an Australian.
Oh, it is. It's admirable that you're prepared to put yourself out there like that, showing that you're human, the human side of you, and the weaknesses.
I think it's a really cool Aussie quality, though. Like, I think Aussies, and I think Brits probably are as well, and I'd say Kiwis probably are. We're self-deprecating. It's not an American thing at all. Like, they're about pumping themselves up. They're super confident. Yeah. But an Aussie will be like, that was me. Like, I really dropped the ball there. Or, I went through this heartbreak. But really, I was
I think Aussies can relate to what you're saying.
But it was meant to be funny too. Like, I was hoping people would laugh.
Well, it was. It was lighthearted humour because of it. But I think, more importantly, people can relate to that.
And you did have a little criticism. You thought that I overshared a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, but it's your memoir, so, you know, I'm not critical of it. It's just something that, you know, I picked up as I was reading.
Especially, like, the dating stories and stuff.
Things like that, where, you know, you were fairly specific.
Nah, I don't think I will. I mean,
well, me being part of your life knew who you were talking about.
Yeah, but it's so funny. So both Mum and Tristan called me after they'd read the book, and Tristan called me up laughing, going, oh, my God, the heartbreak section was my favourite, laughing, because he was like, I could pick who you were talking about.
Yeah.
And Mum called me up and she's like, oh, girl, okay, I've figured out who this person is. And it's just a bit of fun, but only us, only the people in that would actually know who it is. But also, like, and not to focus too much on the negative, but I share some beautiful stories in the love and heartbreak section too.
You do.
And
yeah, you do.
In a very positive light. So it was just about being, my goal with that was just like, be honest, no frills, like, don't sugarcoat it, Lola. Like, let's just be real and let's just share the truth so that if somebody, say in their 20s, reads this book and they're in a situation where someone might be gaslighting them or a bit narcissistic or something like that, they can see the flags and the signs. And that was the aim of the game behind that.
Yeah, I think it was a good example for those out there. The other thing that stood out to me was that you developed a trust and respect for a therapist.
Yeah.
And it's become a big part of your life and it's been a positive for you to help you work through things and progress. And that was another big point that I got out of the book. And I think also, it just in conclusion, it sets a good example for a lot of people out there to just keep pushing on, as I say, in a positive way. And even though they're going to have hiccups along the way and failures and disappointments, just use it as motivation to keep going forward. And in doing that, achieve to their own ability, basically.
And hopefully supersede that.
And hopefully supersede that. So I think the positive qualities in that book are really good for a lot of people.
I also, just on the therapy thing, and I know that, like, your generation wasn't as, like, therapy wasn't as spoken about and it was a little bit more, mental health's always been a bit more swept under the rug. Mm. And so my goal is to normalize getting help for mental health even when you feel good. Mm. That's my whole shtick, is like I learn the most when I'm feeling great and working with my therapist on just processing everyday things or past stuff, whatever it may be. And so I'm really passionate about normalizing that for people so that they go, I'm not broken if I go to a therapist. You don't need to be broken. Mm. It just means you want to, like, I call it gym for your brain.
Mm, you
do. It's like we do yoga, you exercise, you love doing your 10,000 steps a day. It's just the equivalent of that for the brain and the mental health.
Yeah. Look, I think it's great. I mean, I've never used a therapist myself. I know. But as you say, I would love you to, just for fun. I'd probably have to watch the narrative a little bit, I think, with a therapist.
No, you just go with it.
But yeah, I think, obviously, just seeing the effect on you, there are so many positives in regard to getting someone that you trust and that you can relate to.
Yeah. But I also, not to like harp on and on about Fearlessly Failing, which is out now, by the way, is there's a toolkit section where you can kind of try on different health modalities. Mm. Like if therapy isn't your thing, like there are other schools of thought.
Chiropractic or acupuncture.
Reiki, crystal healing.
Yeah, heaps of them. You've mentioned them all. No, it's an interesting read. I thought it was an interesting read.
It's an easy read too.
It's your 10th book.
11th.
Oh, sorry. 11th book.
I love having a family member on the podcast because you can be so honest and not feel like, usually if I have a guest, I'm like, I don't want to like ruffle their feathers, but because it's a family member, I can be like correcting. We can be very honest with one another.
Yeah.
I quite like it.
So it's the 11th book and it's very different to all the others, and I think it's well worth a read. As I've said before, I think you're a really positive mentor for young people,
because you walk
the talk. I mean, you're not fake. You're not putting something out there that you don't do yourself. So, and this book exemplifies that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you liked it. And you starting the Federer book now that I got you for Chrissy?
Yes, I love my sport, as you know. So, and the Australian Open's coming up, and I'll get back to Melbourne probably in time to go. But
get those rapid tests before
I'll have to get those rapid tests. So, yes, I'm reading this biography on Roger Federer, who's been one of the best tennis players in my lifetime.
Would you argue one of the best throughout history?
Oh, definitely, yeah. He's just poetry in motion. He mightn't be the most successful tennis player, but he's one of the most beautiful tennis players to watch.
Really?
Because of his technique.
Really?
And he started off a little bit arrogant and have behavioural issues. And
does he say that? Does it say that in the book?
Yeah, but he learnt to curb them and he learnt to overcome his frustrations and now he's just a beautiful presence on court.
This is my thing. Is that also the 20s growing up, like figuring yourself out, figuring your values?
Yeah, probably, and not enjoying losing. I mean,
but no one likes losing. I've had Liesl Jones on the podcast before, and she's like, silver doesn't count.
No,
to an Olympian or to someone that is so focused for, you know, I don't know how many hours a day an athlete trains, but it's their life.
Second best in the world doesn't count.
That's what she would say. Yes.
Yeah, I don't fully understand that. I mean,
we're not pro athletes, so I imagine it's a very
different.
Yeah, and like even is it Nadal that's almost got the OCD things where he has to twist the water bottles all one way or something?
Yeah, and he never walks on the court between games. He walks around it.
Really?
He's got little
idiosyncrasies. But I feel like footballers used to have that too. Like Matthew Lloyd used to pull the grass up before.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they got mental little tools that they have to use.
How cool. I love learning. I love human behaviour, so that's why I love this.
Yeah, so, all in all, I think the book's, your best of the 11.
Ah, wow. It's the most honest of them because it's all, shared personal experiences.
Hmm.
Thank you for spending Chrissy and New Year with us. I'm looking forward to Yamba tomorrow.
Yeah, it was really special to get up here and spend Christmas with you and Matt and also to catch up with my younger brother Jeff.
Of course.
Who's moved up from Victoria. I'd like to get up here more often. But, because of your travel commitments, whether you'll be here or not, I'm not sure. But
well, our dream is, like I was saying, our dream is to buy it'll always be a base. I'll always just be following work, I imagine, for the next big chunk of my life.
Yeah. Well, look, I love your passion and I love the fact that, you've got goals and you do strive to achieve them and, I think you're going to really achieved your ability and beyond.
Hopefully, touch wood, shall we? Mm. Thanks for jumping on the pod and thanks for the honest chat. I love the no filter that we have when we chat because we do trigger one another as well some days, don't we?
We do. I'm really annoyed I can't remember the meaning of that word.
Neither can I, but I don't – I have. Oh, I'll just Google it right now.
So I was going to say
– put your mind at ease.
Yes.
Hang on.
Just Google it just to
do you remember
– refresh my memory.
So it's – how do we say it? Thymotropism. Thymotropism.
Yeah. Thymotropism.
Tropism. Here we go. Yes. Thymotropism is a directional growth movement which occurs as a mechanocerary response to touch stimulus. Were you talking about plants?
It's come back to me.
Yeah.
It's come back to me. We were talking about plants and whether touching them stimulates a positive effect in the plant. And and you can get pros and cons saying that touching them is not good for them.
I touch all my indoor plants.
And others will say touching, is a positive stimulus and they do well with it. So, yeah, that's what it meant. I'd forgotten.
No, well, there you go. You can sleep well tonight
I can.
And I talk to my indoor plants, which you're meant to do as well, I think.
Well, there's a lot out there that says that you should.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dad. I love you lots.
Yeah,
and I've
And May 2022 be greatly successful for you.
And you. I hope you learn. I look forward to you showing me stand-up paddleboarding in Torquay when I visit.
Well, as long as I'm not falling off the board, I'll be happy.
I think you've got to take a few falls before you land it.
I've got to work on my balance, I think, but I will do that.
And just quickly for listeners, so Monday's episode that is already live is a chat with Mum, Wendy.
Yes.
And then next Monday's episode is going to be with Charlie Goldsmith, the healer. And you know Charlie well. So that's next Monday's episode and he's a wonderful force. We actually went down this path of really talking about health as opposed to he touches a bit on his healing journey, but he talks a lot about his beliefs on human health. And as you know, he's a very, very healthy human. So.
He is.
Yeah, that comes out.
No, I'll be really interested to listen to that one.
Yeah. We've been forcing Dad into listening to a lot of our favourite health podcasts, actually.
Oh, I'm enjoying them.
I feel like you've entered like a health retreat world when you come to our house.
Well, that's the benefit of coming here, I think.
Right, it's a reset.
It is.
Love you lots and, yeah, let's make this year a goodie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Bye.
All the best.
Love you. Bye.